Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen testified before Congress today. She called what's happening on the southern border a humanitarian crisis, one that justifies President Trump's emergency declaration to build a border wall.
The projections are dire. The agency is now on track to apprehend more migrants crossing illegally in the first 6 months of this fiscal year than the entirety of FY17.
Meanwhile, Democrats who control the House are struggling to contain a rift over anti-Semitism sparked by Ilhan Omar, the Minnesota freshman Democrat who is one of the first Muslim women elected to Congress. Let's bring our political strategists in. Alice Stewart, Republican strategist. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Jeremy and Peter.
Hello.
And Maria Cardona, Democratic strategist, joins us today. Hi, Maria.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well. So let me start with this immigration story. We're hearing about more than double the number of migrants, 76,000 apprehended at the border last month. That's more than double the same period last year. Many of them are families that surrendered to authorities in order to seek asylum. Maria, is this basically helping the president make his case that there's an emergency at the border?
I don't think it is. Not that they won't continue to try to do it. Look, you know, Secretary Nielsen was right. It is a humanitarian crisis. But it's a humanitarian crisis that this president and this administration have made much, much worse. She used the words a chain of human misery. And I agree with her. But part of that misery has been outright caused by this administration, as you have migrants, and you just said it, presenting themselves at the border. They're not trying to cross illegally. They're not trying to hide about what they are trying to do. They want to come in here and seek asylum. I used to be communications director at the former INS under the Clinton administration, and we saw this all the time. People coming over from, back then it was Mexico, now it's Central American countries, where there are huge bouts of violence and death threats by gang members. These are people who literally would face death for themselves or their family members if they did not do something.
Well, Alice,
and they are trying to do what they can.
What about that? Is it, as Maria says, a humanitarian crisis, but not necessarily an emergency worth doing what the president would like to do and build a wall without congressional approval?
Look, the reality is this is a humanitarian crisis, and there's something needs to be done right now. Look, I didn't 100% support the president's decision to declare an emergency and go about it this way. I would have much rather made the steps necessary through congressional approval on the front end instead of on the back end. But look, so often, Democrats and liberals look at emotions and not facts. But those numbers you just read, 76,000 aliens apprehended inadmissible at ports of entry, that's a 12-year high. You can't deny these numbers. The numbers are irrefutable. And that right there, more than anything, gives cause for Congress to act. And look, Secretary Nielsen made a very important point. This is not a manufactured crisis. This is a real emergency. And I think we all need to understand the catch and release policies of the past are not where we need to go. Republicans and Democrats agree that we need to take action. And if we can come together with not just securing the border, but also looking at the humanitarian aspects and putting more judges along the border to help expedite the process and put more boots on the ground and drones in the air and not just a wall to help secure the border. There are many aspects that need to be done, but we cannot continue to push this to the next administration and the next administration. This was the number one priority for this president. He was elected on a large part this issue, and he's doing what he needs to do to make sure that this happens.
But the problem is that this administration is not doing what Alice just promoted, which is actually smart, to look at real smart border security. This president wants his wall, his wall, his wall. Right now, it is just a vanity project, which will do nothing to stem the flow of this humanitarian crisis, because these migrants are not coming over undeterred areas. They are coming to ports of entry. So if you build a wall, that is going to do nothing to keep them from presenting themselves.
Okay.
It makes no sense whatsoever.
We have to move on because there's a lot to talk about. Democratic Party leaders will be voting on a resolution as early as tomorrow condemning both anti-Semitism and anti-Muslim sentiment. And they're not going to name Ilhan Omar. She is the freshman Democrat, as we said, who's been accused of making anti-Semitic comments. The latest that Israel supporters are forcing lawmakers to take a pledge of allegiance to a foreign country. Here's Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney today.
Representative Omar embodies a vile, hate-filled, anti-Semitic, anti-Israel bigotry. This is not a time for politics. This is a time for the Democratic leaders and this institution to do the right thing. They should remove her from the House Foreign Affairs Committee.
Maria, looks like this is driving a wedge between new and old school Democrats.
I think that way too much is being made of the quote-unquote wedge. I don't think it's driving a wedge. Are there passionate discussions within the party about what should be included in a resolution? Absolutely. And that is a good thing. And let's just look at the differences between the parties. You know, it's really rich to hear Republicans chastising Democrats about bigotry when they are the party that frankly has members of Congress that promote bigotry, starting with the person at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I am glad that our party is having a discussion about how you broaden and widen the protections and the values and the honor and the respect that we have, not just to the Jewish community, but to the Muslim community, to the Hispanic community, to African Americans, to every multicultural immigrant community out there that has felt the sting of bigotry and hate speech that has been normalized and allowed since President Trump became president.
Alice, does she have a point? Yeah, weigh in.
No, here's the problem is that instead of addressing the issue of the day and what we're having a conversation, so many Democrats want to flip the script and talk about President Trump. Here's what we need to be talking about. Congresswoman Omar and her deplorable statements talking about Israel is hypnotizing the world and American Jews who support Israel are engaged in dual loyalty. Look, this is out and out anti-Semitic behavior. It is not acceptable, and it should be called out for what it is. And for us to try and change the topic of conversation to what may or may not have been said by this president in the past does not do justice to this. Look, who is Congresswoman Omar to decide what is anti-Semitic behavior? If Jewish people take this as offensive language, then we need to accept that. And that is a rule across the board. If any group feels as though language is hurtful or disrespectful or certainly anti-Semitic or racist or however you want to call it, if it is offensive language to a group of people, it needs to be addressed on that
point. Okay. I completely agree with that. And she apologized several times. Let's just make that very clear. And Democrats came to her to say that what she said was wrong, and she understood that.
And there was also a tweet that I just want to point out when we talk about this by Ilhan Omar. There was a tweet by President Trump during the campaign of Hillary Clinton with a bunch of cash and a Star of David on it that was tweeted out. And I haven't heard him apologize for that.
There's the hypocrisy.
There's the hypocrisy. Okay. I want to talk about 2020 just in the few minutes we have left. We heard this week that Michael Bloomberg, the former New York City mayor, is not going to run, that Hillary Clinton told News 12 New York that she is not a 2020 candidate, and that the former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper is running on key issues such as guns and climate change. Here he is.
I'm running for president because we're facing a crisis that threatens everything we stand for. As a skinny kid with Coke bottle glasses and a funny last name, I've stood up to my fair share of bullies.
Maria, let me start with you since you're the Democratic strategist here. What do you think of these different moves on the Democratic side? Bloomberg, Hillary out, Hickenlooper in.
That doesn't surprise me. I always knew Hillary Clinton was not going to run again. You know, there was a lot of much ado about nothing. I think a lot of talk from her ardent supporters and donors who would still like her to be running. But she closed that door a long time ago. It also doesn't surprise me that Michael Bloomberg is not running. I don't see that he sees that there's a path for him, which is why I think he was not running. Hickenlooper, I think, is part of the cadre of Democratic candidates who believe that they have something to offer. And what I'm really excited about is that we're going to have so many talented Democrats with a whole different array of experiences that are focused on the values and the issues that Americans care about. And frankly, all of them are focused on bringing back justice, on bringing back civility, on bringing back humanity, on bringing back, frankly, core American values that have been pushed to the side by this president.
I will say I agree with Maria in that the more the merrier, I believe, in a primary process. We had almost 16, 17 last time in the GOP process. Let the voters decide. Let them decide who represents their views and values and who connects with them.
And who are Republicans most worried about, Alice?
It remains to be seen. We don't know how these people will play out. It depends on how they fare in Ohio, in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina. But what I see right now, we see a lot of Democrats that are throwing their hat in the ring. We're talking about gun control, climate change, free college, income inequality, abortion rights. And a lot of these candidates are the same on the issues. The question is how this will resonate, not just in the primary, but certainly in the general election, and who has what it takes to take
Maria,
down
I'm
going to
give you a one-word answer. Who do you like the most on the Democratic side so far?
It's got to be two words. First
I like
name.
All of them
okay,
so far.
Okay, come on. All right. Maria Cardona, Democratic strategist. Alice Stewart, the Republican. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks, Jeremy.